The Bible says, ye shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. What it means is the truth you activate, the truth you follow, the instruction in the truth that you obey is what's going to set you free. Knowing by itself is not enough. It's walking in the truth. It's like walking, you know the light is there, but until you walk in the light, you keep on groping in darkness. I pray in Jesus' name that none of you will grope in darkness, in Jesus' mighty name. Today I want to talk to us briefly on a subject we have captioned, beware. It's a warning. Beware of these prayer blockers. Beware of these prayer blockers. Many of us pray, but it's like the more we pray, the less answers we get. And some don't pray at all, because some things are keeping them away from praying. I want to address both this morning by the grace of God. The Bible says, Matthew 21 and verse 22, all things, with the exception of nothing, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. All things, everything with the exception of nothing, whatever you will ask in the place of prayer, Jesus said, because this is Jesus speaking, he said, as long as you believe, you will receive. I pray that you will receive every expectation today. Then the Bible says, in James chapter 4, I'm going to read through from verse 1 to 3. James 4 from verse 1 to 3. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight, you labor, emphasis mine, and war, you strive, yet ye have not. Why? Because ye ask not. Because you didn't ask God. Because you don't know how to ask. Because you have not been praying about it. My emphasis this morning is on the last verse, verse 3. Ye ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss. You ask wrongly. How? You ask that you may consume it upon your own lust. You ask because it's for you alone. The only person you have in mind at the point of asking is just you. You are not mindful of anybody else. It's just what you alone want for you. You are not mindful of the kingdom of God. You are not asking so that the kingdom of God can be benefited. It was until Anna asked and said, give me a son, I will give him back to you. The answer came. Praise the Lord. There was no selfishness in the prayer of Anna. When Abraham, believing God for many years, eventually got a son according to the will of God, God said, give him to me. Kill him for me. He did not hesitate. Many today still think that God is so barbaric to have asked Abraham to kill Isaac, his son. No, God was testing his faith. God wanted to know where his faith was hanging. Is it on the gift that I've given you? Because you notice that as soon as he was about to kill the boy, God showed up and said, no, don't kill him. Now I know. Now I know you fear God. Now I know you believe me. And God imputed unto him that day as righteousness. Hallelujah. Lust for ourselves, my own thing. God, this is what I want. Our shopping list. No wonder God is not doing anything concerning it. One of the things you need to understand is you are not in this world just for yourself. I am not in this world just for myself. There is a reason why God put us on this earth. You are not on this earth to go and do a job and earn a salary and consume it on yourself, me, mine, and my family alone. If that be the reason for us being on this earth, then it's a waste of time. The kingdom is important to God. You have to understand, when Jesus said, if you believe, you will receive, he's speaking the truth. He's telling us exactly what the mind of God is. The mind of God is that when you pray, you get it. But for some reason, we are not getting it. Yes, there is the devil factor. But let's deal with us first today before we start dealing with the devil. One thing I know for a certainty is that according to Hebrews 6:18, God cannot lie. Amen? The Bible says that by two immutable things, in the which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. We that were fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is laid before us or set before us. God cannot lie. God is not a liar. What he says is what he will do, is what is perfect. What else do I know? That the word of God is true. Every other thing is a lie. The word of God is the only truth. Jesus prayed in John 17:17. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. Every other thing you see, they are lies. Why do I say that? Because every one of them will perish. Only the word of God is for everlasting. Hallelujah. The word of God is for everlasting. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O God, your word is settled. Nothing can erase the word of God. Nothing can erase the purpose of God. The purpose of God and the word of God stands sure. The reason why God created this earth is still going to be fulfilled. And the reason why God put you and I here is still going to be fulfilled. The question is it going to be fulfilled with you or without? With or without, it's still going to be fulfilled. Then the Bible says that the word of God is pure. According to Proverbs 30 and verse 5, it says the word of God is pure. It's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. The word of God is a shield, a defense, a protection. For who? Those who put their trust in God. Those who trust the word of God. Those who trust the word of God as the infallible authority. Those who know that the word of God is a do without. Isaiah 40, and verse 8, the Bible says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Amen. No wonder government goes, government come. People go, people come. Seasons go, seasons come. 1 year pass, another year comes. But the word of God stands forever. Even the people who have promulgated and promoted abomination in this land, they will go away from their power. But the absolute power of God still remains. Now, because God is not saying anything or doing anything does not mean that the power of God is ineffective. God is still biding his time. Because the long suffering of God worketh salvation. God is still expecting you and I, this nation, the nations of the world that have turned away from God, to turn back to him. Praise the Lord. Now, what are these things that we need to be aware of? That can block us, block our prayers when we pray. That can stop us from praying. I told you I'm going to address both. What does not allow prayer to be answered? And what does not allow you to pray? Maybe I should put the second first. What is it that is stopping you really from praying? Instead of praying, you are struggling, running from pillar to post. Number one. Doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. The Bible says in Mark 11, verse 22 and 23, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Amen. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now watch this. And shall not doubt. And shall not doubt in his heart. But shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, why don't we pray? Why don't you pray as you ought to pray? Because you don't believe God can answer your prayer. Or some of us think, God is too slow. God does not move quick enough for me. So there's no point in me going to seek God. There's no point in me going to wait on God in prayer. So let me go and do it by myself. And we continue the roller coaster of struggle day in, day out. And we lose our peace. And we live in fear. Because doubt has set in. Let me tell you something about doubt. Doubt is a thief. Doubt steals the blessings of God from you. Doubt is an instrument of the devil to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, 6 to 8, time will not allow me to read it all. But he said, a double-minded man, let not that man think he will receive anything from God. Why? Because he's unstable. He's unstable in all his ways. Is double-minded, is doubtful. The word of God is saying one thing, his mind is saying another. And the devil is pushing him to do another. And then he's listening more to his unbelieving friends. Those who are crucifying you for coming to church, you follow their advice more than you follow the advice of the Bible. More than you follow the advice of your pastor. Because you know your pastor will say, no, don't go that wrong way. You rather not, I don't need counsel. I know what I need to do. No, you don't. Until you have consulted with God. Until you have consulted with the word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What is unbelief? Unbelief is believing every other person except the word of God. Hello? Unbelief is believing your present predicament more than the word of God. Unbelief is believing the weatherman more than the word of God. The word of God says, today it is well with you. The weatherman says, today is going to be horrible. And your mind is quickly filled with fear. Today is going to be horrible. I remember a few years back, I was ministering at a church in New Jersey, and we were to have Bible study here. And the weatherman said, a huge storm is brewing. Somebody called me and said, Pastor, this is what the weather people said. So, should we cancel Bible study? I was very angry, my spirit man. Number one, what they said will happen has not happened. They only said this is what to expect. But now, the word of God did not say I should expect a storm that would trouble me. My wife was pregnant with our son. She called me and said, I'm on my way to church. I said, go ahead. Go to church. Go to Bible study. Guess what? There was no storm. How many times have they said, he's going to run cats and dogs? And then nothing happens. You stayed at home. Nothing happened. There are sometimes where we live in the north, it's snowing heavily. And then I'll call and I found out that here it's not snowing at all. I say, family, get into the car. Let's go. We'll drive through it. Only once have I tried it that I got stuck and couldn't come to church because my car wouldn't move. We become lazy, directed by our physical senses. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What level of son or daughter of God are you? Can we not even speak to the storm? Can we not tell the storm to go away and not come this way? Because we are meeting for God? Unbelief comes through lack of knowledge of the word of God. Show me a believer that is dying in his faith. I will show you a believer that is void of the word of God. Oh, coming to church on Sunday and so, it's not going to be enough for you. Hello? It's not going to be enough. The word you are going to receive today cannot serve you till next Sunday. The curveball that the world is going to throw at you tomorrow. If you don't have the word of God inside you, you will crumble. Your faith dies when your appetite for the word of God dies. Your faith in God dies when your appetite for the word of God dies. You're looking good on the outside, but are you dying on the inside? Your faith is dying, hanging on strength. Or tread. Before you know it, it will flatline. Backsliding does not happen automatically. It starts gradually. It's a gradual thing. Gradually, gradually, gradually. Those things that used to matter sooner or later will no longer matter. Then you start defending evil. Because you are void of the word of God. And when you are not pumped up by the word, let me tell you something. Prayer is not for our needs to be met. It's one of those things. But that's not the main thing. It's also for connection and relationship. Opening up a line of communication with God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29, it says, I'm going to paraphrase it. Don't sow different seeds into your ground. Because the real seed is going to become defiled. Deuteronomy 22, verse 9. When you start mixing the word of God with other things, you end up in unbelief avenue. You end up as an unbeliever. Some will say, well, God did not say I shouldn't follow the culture of my place of birth. It's the culture of your place of birth. It's not the culture of heaven. Hello? Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? You know, for example, when people want to get married, generally, when the bride is coming in with either the father or somebody else, usually, what do the keyboard play? Ba, 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 ba. Ba, 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 ba. That's tradition. Human tradition. Because before long, here goes the bride. Yeah. But heaven's culture dictates that we should do what? You are coming in. What do we sing? Give me something. Huh? To God be the glory. Great things he. You already roped God in the matter. Hello? You have what? You have roped God in the matter. God, you are the one doing this. Oh. You are the one enabling me. So you are going to be the one who is going to sustain me through. Human tradition has killed the faith of many in the church. I'm not bashful saying this. The Bible says in Hosea 10, verse 12, it says, a heart or a land that is left uncultivated, that is left fallow. He said, break up your fallow ground. Break it up. You leave a land uncultivated. What will grow there? Weeds. And then you find snakes and all that creepy crawlies bouncing up and down that ground. A heart that has been left without the word of God, uncultivated by the word. What do you think will grow in that heart? Evil, envy, lust, pride. All the works of the flesh. They will be thriving in that place. And now you have to understand that faith is action. Faith says act. So anytime you refuse to act on the word of God, that is unbelief. If you don't act on the word of God, you are already displaying unbelief. If you start arguing the truth of the word of God, you are already displaying unbelief. Oh, because it does not suit you, then you have to argue it. No, no, your argument does not nullify it. Even though you are arguing and I don't have an answer for your argument, it does not nullify the truth. The truth will remain the truth forever. Amen? The Bible says in 1 John 5, I'm still in point number one, and my time is gone. Wow. And I have 6 points. Oh my, oh my. 1 John 5, 14 to 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him. When the word is in you, guess where your confidence will be? Your confidence will be in Christ. Your confidence will be in God. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to what? According to his will. Not according to my feelings. The moment you start asking according to your feelings, fear has set in. And we know he hears us whatsoever we ask, because we have faith. Amen? And he's the prayer answering God. And we know that we have our petitions, that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Faith in God is a confidence booster. Faith in God is a confidence booster. Show me a fearful person, I'll show you a person who has no faith in God. Every day say, fear not. Fear has torment. Fear is of the devil. Faith is from God. Faith gives you confidence to approach. Faith gives you confidence to advance. Faith gives you the ability to move with expectation. When you have faith, prayer will not be difficult. When the word of God has permeated your spirit, man, prayer will not be difficult. Those are the people God says, even before you think it, I will do it. Because you have been saturated by faith, based on your study and reception of the word of God. Point number two. Unrighteousness is a prayer blocker. Unrighteousness. Now, because you pray and you spend 3 hours in prayer, does not mean God will answer you. Because you are living an unrighteous life. Hello? You are living in sin. But then you pray, 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 pray. But you are living in sin. Oh, somebody say, God have mercy. Ah, amen. When we don't do right according to the will of God, we stand in our own way of our prayers being answered. Having a right standing with God. Listen to what Apostle Peter said. 1 Peter 3. I read from verse 8 to 12. God must help me today. He says, finally. So he must have been saying something before. Go and check what he's been saying before. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. The open heavens this morning talks about where you see evil, there is unrighteousness there. Where there is righteousness, you can't find evil there. The life of a Christian is not tit for tat. An eye for an eye. No, not at this time. Not after Jesus Christ has died. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Love is a key factor to righteousness. I mean, the agape love of God. Not the love that is really lost in us. And not padi-padi love. Scratch my back, I scratch your back. That's not love. That's compromise. The Bible says God is love. And the word of God is God. The word of God is love. Amen. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Watch what you say. Watch what you post on Facebook. Amen. Oh, I see some things and I question the person. Are you really with your senses? Because what you are thinking is actually what you are posting. Verse 11 says, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace. Eschew it, that is, pursue it. Now, verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord is over who? The righteous. Not only that, and his ears are open to what? To the prayers of the righteous. I believe strongly that when your prayers are answered, you will know even before they manifest. Huh? And you know the prayers you prayed that didn't go anywhere. Hello? Huh? I know that this one, bullseye. Praise the Lord. But this one, oh, Lord have mercy. Then you go and search yourself. What is it? You see, when you are worried and you are praying with worry, that prayer can't go anywhere. When you are fearful and you are praying in fear, if fear is the motivating factor to obedience to God, that's not obedience. It has to be willful from you. Now a gun is on your head, our Father. What in heaven? You are the only God. Oh Lord. But for the last 2 months, you never prayed. Amen. This church is quiet. You see, I'm just going to end with these 2 points. Because there's no point going beyond it. We'll continue next time. Who I used to be in Christ, who I used to be rather in the world, now I'm in Christ. I must not let who I used to be a disturbance to who I am now. Satan will come from time to time to remind you and look you in the face. You a Christian, you. They are calling Christian, you too, you are answering, you. You are the one praying, you, of all people. Have you forgotten so and so and so? Have you forgotten this and that and that and that you did? And then when guilt sets in, your faith goes out of the window. That's the time to say, get thee behind me, Satan. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things, Satan, did you not read the word? All things are passed away. All things have become new. Now, I'm no longer your ambassador, Satan. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. If Jesus was looking at my past, he would not have saved me. But he's looking at the future he has for me in him. Because in him I live, I move, and have my being. Not in my past. Don't let what you did before hinder your confidence in God. God's love is so overwhelming, overpowerful, more than whatever we may have done before. When you go before God, Lord, have mercy on me, forgive me for my sins, and you turn from that sin, believe me, God did not remember it anymore. So don't let anybody remind you. Don't let anybody remind you of what God does not remember. Don't let anybody call you the name God has canceled out of your destiny. Don't let what they are saying of you in the past now block your advancement in the presence of God, in the place of prayer. Satan can come and say, you that you used to say incantation to me before, now you are using that same mouth to pray. Well, I don't say incantations anymore. But I know Psalm 23. I have a new incantation now. The Lord is my shepherd. What are you going to do about that, Satan? Huh? Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Hallelujah. He's my King and my God. He shed his blood for me on the cross of Calvary. I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, you begin to talk the word, Satan will flee from you. Praise the Lord. I say, Satan will flee from you. Every believer has the right to be in the presence of God. As long as you are a believer, as long as you are bona fide born again. Remember, not born again. Or like my wife will say, born against. Some people, when you ask them, are you born again? Oh, yeah. They are quick to say yes. Some are not quick to say yes. They will think, are you born again? Yes. No, it's a lie. And some, when did you get born again? They can't even remember the church. They can't even remember the place. You can't remember the place your life turned around for good. You can't remember the place you waved bye-bye to the devil. You better do it again. And not this one this time. Praise the Lord. Let us rise up on our feet.